she picked, she'd take at least 2 weeks before deciding to move on if it didn't suit. If it did, she'd move in. She needed a place, a purpose, something to hold her down. For too long, she'd felt as weightless as a balloon, one that once untethered could just float away. She didn't want to float. She wanted to plant roots. She'd studied maps, combed the internet. North Carolina seemed to hit the marks. Good growing season, but resting time as well. And the high country, something she'd known almost nothing about before those comb-throughs, appealed. She hadn't thought of mountains, and she liked the idea of seeing them rising up. Lakeview seemed to check more boxes. She'd have the water she craved, those mountains she hadn't known she wanted, a decent-sized town and reasonable distance to good-sized cities when she needed or wanted what they offered. If it didn't work, well, she'd move on. With that location in mind, she studied climate charts, rainfall, growing season, native plants, spread out to businesses, activities. Where did people shop? What did they eat? What did they do? She shifted over to hotels, motels, B&Bs, rental homes, then struck on the webpage for Walker Lakeside Bungalows. She liked the look of Emily Walker Keller, liked reading that the bungalows and business had been in her family for 3 generations. And she liked the look of them. Separate, private, but not lonely or really alone. Plenty of trees. Woods, really, which struck some other previously unexplored interest inside her. She'd stuck the pin in the map at that point, took the leap of making an online reservation. A month. If the 2 weeks proved enough, she'd just eat the rest of the cost, move on. An adventure, she'd told herself as she packed everything she had left. She'd sold or donated the rest. Traveling light, she thought, and with nothing to hold her to the house that was no longer hers, in the pretty suburb of Baltimore, she loaded her car. She turned once to study the lovely old brick house, its gardens sleeping under a layer of fresh February snow. The new owners had given her the afternoon after the morning settlement to, well, move on, and she appreciated it. They'd appreciate the gardens, the dance of the weeping pear's branches when spring came. They'd mow the lawns, sit in the kitchen, sleep in the bedrooms. The house would live again. It hadn't in nearly a year. It had just gone to sleep, like she had. It deserved to hold a family again, and now that it would, she could leave it without regret. She got in the car, put on her sunglasses against the glare of sun, turned the radio up, loud. She moved on. The direct route clocked in at about 8 hours. Darby took a week. The journey, in her mind, was about exploration, adventure, and in no small way, freedom. On the road, she could be whoever she wanted to be, go wherever the urge struck. Time out of time, she figured, so salt and vinegar chips and a cold Coke for breakfast worked fine. She watched snow fall outside her window in a Motel 6 in the Shenandoah Valley, wound into West Virginia because why not? Took the back roads, climbing the mountains, cruising down them again, and wound back east. Charlottesville earned an entire day. A tour of Monticello, long browses through art galleries, and an amazing ramp risotto with a crisp Pinot Grigio to cap off the day. Out of Charlottesville, the back roads took her through farmland, vineyards, small towns, past old homes and new developments. Into the tentative hints of spring, the haze of green like a promise, the air like a cautious sigh. Because she wanted to start her day crossing into North Carolina, Darby chose a motel near the border, ate southern fried chicken in a diner served by a cheerful waitress named May, who called her Sweetie Pie. Or Sweetie Pie, in her lovely accent. May had a fuzzy cloud of yellow hair, bright and bold against the hint of dark roots, an ample bosom, and a smile as comforting as the mashed potatoes and gravy on Darby's plate. She spent the last night of her road trip listening to the couple in the next room have a whole lot of enthusiastic, vocal sex, As compared to other overheard motel sex along the route, Darby decided, "Oh God, Susie!" and "Jack, Jack, Jack!" won top prize. When her internal alarm woke her just before dawn, she rolled out of bed to shower. After studying her face in the mirror, she concluded that since she'd show that face in Lakeview later in the day, some makeup wouldn't hurt. She pulled on jeans, a t-shirt, a hoodie, laced on her battered and beloved Wolverines, and blew a kiss to Susie and Jack as she swung her duffel over her shoulder. She hit the vending machines for a pack of Oreos and a Coke, sat a moment watching the eastern sky wake up, flirting back the night with its pinks and roses. She headed south, crossed into North Carolina with the sun. Driving through the morning, she let her mind drift. Not time, not yet, to think of the practical, the what happens next. This still spread as the whatever, and she could take any road, still detour, still turn north or east. She could opt to miss a day or two of her reservation or cancel it altogether. Destiny rested in her hands and no one else's. But she wound west, saw the mountains. At first like shadows in the sun, then taking form and shape. Going with the pole, she headed toward them. Time to see, she told herself. Time to try. Her first sight of Lakeview came with the sun, sparkling bright, streaming down mountains, snugged into valleys, glowing on foothills, and casting diamonds on the blue lake. Spring wasn't ready to dance here in the high country, but from what she could see, it had begun to tap its foot. She wanted the town first. Scenic had big points, but for whatever to turn into the what's next, she needed those practicalities, a client base, a demand for her supply. She saw quickly the lake itself held the center, and that made sense. Docks, a marina, shops catering to those who wanted the water, to sail, to swim or paddle, to perch on little strips of beach or to fish. Outdoorsy shops for the hiker, the sportsman. Arty shops, gift shops, restaurants, a couple of pretty hotels. Businesses, she noted, that looked as if they held their own. People strolled the sidewalks or walked briskly. More wandered the marina docks. A few boats skimmed that blue lake. And homes for those who lived right in the center. More homes for those who wanted a little distance from the businesses. Homes with yards. Homes on sloping hills with shade trees and ornamental shrubs budded up and waiting, just waiting to dance into spring. A quiet place, certainly compared to where she'd lived her life, but not sleepy. The lake, the hills, those mountains, the woods would draw tourists, and that was fine. But tourists weren't her target. She weaved through a development, Lakeview Terrace. Big houses, fancy houses. The biggest and fanciest of them with a clear view of the lake from generous backyards. It held its own little park, a small playground. She drove out, began to round the water on the lake road. Houses. Some, from what she'd read, would have started their life as summer homes. She supposed a few still lived for summer or holiday goers. And some seemed built right into the rise of the hill, lots of glass to bring in the view, jagging decks for sitting out on pretty days and nights. What she could do if let loose on those fascinating rocky rising grounds. Some traffic on the road, but not thick or impatient, and that was good too. She saw a man in a red cap fishing off the end of a dock. A pier? Was there a difference? A woman with a baby in one of those front packs, chubby little legs dangling out. She walked a big black dog on a leash. Darby glanced back at them through her rearview mirror as the woman unclipped the leash. The big dog streaked to the lake, leaped into the air, landed with a splash. Charmed, slowing so she could watch the dog swim like an otter, she nearly missed the sign for Walker Lakeside Bungalow's reception. The road narrowed at the turnoff, went to gravel, and the woods snuck in closer. She had a moment to think it was its own private magic land, or the classic set for slasher murders when she came to a neat bungalow with the lakeside reception sign. It had a porch with a couple of rocking chairs, a table between, a walkway through a patch of front yard that looked more like weeds than grass, but neatly mowed. She saw lights behind the windows and a curl of smoke from the chimney. "Here we go," she murmured, grabbed her shoulder bag, and climbed out of the car. She walked up the gravel path. Slate, she thought, it should be slate with Irish moss growing in the joints. Up to the porch, where she imagined azaleas in pink, very traditional, softening the foundation, and mixed pots flanking the doorway with plantings to reflect the season. She started to knock, saw the sign that read, "Come right on in," so she did. A woman sat at a long, glossy table working at a computer while a fire simmered in a stone hearth. She had dark hair layered nearly to her shoulders. Emily Walker Keller looked very much like the picture on the website. Attractive, Darby thought. Maybe late 40s, dressed in jeans, a navy sweater, good boots. She looked up as Darby closed the door. The big brown dog sleeping under the table opened amber eyes, thumped its tail. "Hi, Darby McCray?" "Yes, Emily Keller. Welcome to Lakeside." She rose, walked over with a hand extended. Her eyes, sharp and green as a cat's, added welcome and a quick appraisal. "How was your trip?" "Oh, illuminating." Since the dog wandered over to sniff at her boots, tail still swinging, Darby reached down to pet its head. "Rufus is part of the welcoming committee." "He's beautiful." "He's a good boy. How about some coffee or tea or a soft drink before we tackle the paperwork?"
"A soft drink would be great. Coke or Pepsi if you have it."
"I can handle that. Why don't you have a seat? I'll be right back."
"Actually, I've been sitting a while. Is it okay if I look around? Walk around?"
"Sure. You can come back with me if you want."
A hall led back from the front office to a storage room where sheets, towels, blankets lined shelves. Salt and pepper mills, coffee pots, tea kettles, toasters, blenders, glassware, plates, flatware. Another room held cleaning supplies. Buckets, mops, brooms, vacuum cleaners, big jugs of cleaners, a neat stack of rags.
"You're very organized," Darby observed. "Otherwise, chaos. We don't want that for our guests."
She led the way into a kitchen. On the small side, but fully equipped with another long table.
"This is our break room / meeting room."
As she spoke, Emily got glasses from a cupboard, filled them with ice from an under-the-counter machine.
"Your housekeeper will service your bungalow between 9 and 11 every morning. If you prefer earlier or later, just let us know."
"No, that's fine."
"We stocked your cabin with the supplies you checked off the list. We can take care of resupplying if you put in an order. Give us 3 hours' notice. You'll also get information in your welcome packet on groceries, restaurants, activities, hiking trails."
Darby walked to the window overlooking a concrete patio as Emily poured Coke over ice. Slate, she thought again. It should be slate, mortared joints. Pots of flowers, maybe a trellis for a climber.
"Since you're here for a month, I imagine you'll do some exploring."
Darby turned back, took the offered drink.
"Thanks. Yes, I'm going to explore. I saw a woman with a baby in one of those,"
she juggled a hand in front of her,
"and a big black dog. He jumped right in the water to swim. It was so happy." "Well, how about that? You saw my niece Britt and our baby girl Audra, and their fish disguised as a dog, Molly."
"So you have family right here?"
"I do. Britt and her husband Silas, the baby, and my nephew's coming home. Zane's lived and worked in Raleigh since college. It'll be good to have him home. And I have two boys, teenagers."
She gave an eye roll.
"It's nice."
The little twist in Darby's heart didn't hurt quite as much as it had.
"It's nice to have family." "It is, even though sometimes my husband and I end our day shell-shocked from teenage angst. And you're from the Baltimore area. Your family's there?"
"No, it was me and my mother. She died last year."
"Oh, I'm so sorry."
"So am I. It's beautiful here. I pored over your brochure and soaked up all I could on the internet, but you still don't know exactly what to expect. It's beautiful. I couldn't agree more. You're going to enjoy your stay, I guarantee. Pretty thing, Emily thought as she led the way back to reception. A little on the thin side, but without any delicate air. Long-lidded eyes, blue and deep, and hair the color of the chestnut mare Emily had pined for at 10, cut very short with a side sweep of bangs. Angular, both face and body, and the hands of someone who used them to work. Other than that moment of sadness when she'd mentioned her mother, the girl seemed alive with energy. They chatted easily enough while they finished the paperwork. Emily didn't ask the questions in her mind. Why Darby traveled alone, what she did for a living, what she would do for a month on her own in a strange place. If a guest wanted you to know the personal, the guest told you. You're set. You can follow me to your bungalow and I'll walk you through. She took the dog, who rode with his head out the passenger side window, ears flapping, tongue lolling as if tasting the wind. A short drive, no more than a quarter mile, behind Emily's truck. They passed a wonderful old house with a wraparound porch, lots of windows, a rambling roofline that, to Darby's eyes, desperately needed creative landscaping. When she pulled up at the cabin, her heart skipped. After she got out of the car, she turned a circle, turned it again. Oh God, it's perfect. Perfect, just perfect. Music to my ears. I mean it. Oh, the views. I wanted water, not the ocean, just something. And this lake is beyond what I imagined, even after seeing it on the website. And the mountains, the trees, this house just growing up right here. It's just exactly exact. Do you sail? No. Fish? With a laugh, Darby shook her head. Well, you may before the month's up. You can rent a boat, a canoe, a kayak, no motors on the lake, in town. Or we can facilitate that for you. Same with fishing gear, the license. There's good hiking and maps for that in your pack. I'm going to sit on that porch later with a big glass of wine and watch the sunset. Watch the colors spread over the lake. Now that sounds perfect. Do you paint? Not at all. You must love living here. All my life. She led the way, gravel path again, to the porch, unlocked the front door. Welcome to your home away from home. It smelled of orange zest and polished wood. A fire lay, ready for the match in the stone hearth, with a big sofa covered in quiet blues and greens facing it. A deep chair for a guest and conversation, another tucked in a corner for reading. A long table, it seemed the only kind here, provided eating space and the demarcation between living room and kitchen, a kitchen obviously updated in the last few years. It gleamed with stainless steel, pearly white counters, deep dark wood cabinets. On the counter sat a coffee maker, toaster, a bright red kettle on the stovetop, a blue bowl generous with fruit on the long table. I love it! More music. You have two bedrooms, and I'll expect you'll take the master. Second bath here. She waited for Darby to poke in. Smallish, but adequate with its corner shower, pretty vanity, the bud vase of Asian lilies, fluffy towels. Second bedroom. That, too, would be adequate, with its white duvet-covered bed, the colorful throw artistically placed at the foot, the dresser, the closet space, the lamps with pretty white shades. It's adorable. It is sweet, isn't it? Now the master. Her heart skipped again. The four-poster, thick posts, faced a wide window. The lake and the mountains filled it. To wake up to that every morning? Darby let out a breath. Amazing! Mrs. Keller, Emily, we're neighbors. Emily, it's just wonderful. I may not make it to the porch. I might just lie here and gawk all day. She wandered, skimming fingers over the duvet, the windowsill, and all but danced when she saw the bathroom. Pretty great? Extremely great! It held a big oval freestanding tub, a deep shower with jets, a long counter with double vessel sinks that gleamed copper. The stone tiles held tones of earth and sun. A pretty basket of amenities stood on the counter along with more Asian lilies. Another long, wide window opened to the view.
"We updated a few years ago," Emily told her. "I decided to go for it."
"You got there. You definitely got there."
"You might want the fire in the evenings or the mornings. There's wood on the back porch."
She listed off other practicalities, operating systems. Darby tried to take it in, but she walked through a dream.
"If you need anything or have questions, call the number in your packet. Why don't I help you bring your things inside?"
"Oh, no, that's all right. I don't need anything but my duffel for now."
"Then I'll leave you to settle in. But you call if you need anything."
"Thank you so much." Alone, Darby wandered, room to room, back again, walked out on the back patio, such as it was, did a little dance, walked out to the front, did another. The hell with waiting till sunset, she thought. She got the wine they'd stocked for her, used the provided corkscrew, poured herself that big glass. She carried it out, sat in one of the big porch chairs. She toasted the lake, toasted herself, and toasted what might just be her future. It seemed reasonable to take a day or two to bask and absorb, especially when the basking and absorbing included long walks, taking note, mentally and literally, of local flora and fauna, studying the topography, analyzing the soil, getting a sense of what both homeowners and landlords chose for landscaping, gardens. It included walking tours of the town proper, chatty conversations with shopkeepers and their customers. People tended to chat with her, often telling her details of their lives as if she already knew them. Her mother had called her an emotional magnet. Mostly, Darby just thought she was a good listener. But she learned in that day or two, the area held lake people and hill people, natives and transplants, summer people and year-rounders. And to her mind, Lakeview and its environs had plenty of room for a new business. She spent another day or two visiting nurseries and garden centers, starting with Best Blooms on the edge of town, owned and run by a delightful couple with 3 grown kids, 5 grandkids, and a pair of twins on the way. They'd been married for 43 years, had been high school sweethearts. He'd proposed after the romantic picnic he'd so carefully planned had been invaded by fire ants.
People did tell her things.
She hit every garden center within 50 miles, made more notes, ran more figures, drank more wine on the porch while she worked out details in her head. Dreams were essential, creativity a must, but details, sweat, and a business plan made dreams a reality. By the end of the first week, she had her plan nailed down, her details lined up. She wanted to sweat and knew just where she hoped to start. She walked up to reception, more time to work out her approach in her head. A lot of the working out came in mumbles of dialogue, which she managed to shut down as she spotted Emily standing outside with the woman who had the baby and the swimming dog. No dog this time, and Emily bounced the dark-haired baby on her hip.
"Hey, Darby, come meet the prettiest baby in the history of babies. And her mom."
The mom had dark hair, too, worn in a sleek tail and green eyes that blurred in just the faintest hint of blue. She wore a navy suit as sleek as the ponytail, low heels, and came off just a little frantic. Darby crunched up the gravel path.
"Hi, Darby McRae. I saw you and Audra and Molly taking a walk on my way in on Saturday. I gave Molly straight 10s on the Olympic scale."
The baby, as babies often did with Darby, threw her arms out, gurgling, legs kicking. With a laugh, Darby held hers back.
"Is it okay?"
"Wow."
Britt shifted the diaper bag on her shoulder.
"She's friendly, but that's still a first. If you don't mind."
"Are you kidding?"
Darby took the baby from Emily, nuzzled her. "She already knows I'll sneak her a cookie whenever possible." As the baby tugged cheerfully at Darby's hair, what she could grab, Darby smiled. "I'm interrupting."
"No, sorry. Nice to meet you."
"Sorry," Britt said again. "Our regular sitter's in urgent care."
"Oh, no."
"Possible broken toe. Not serious, but not easy when she has a toddler. Emily,
We'll be fine. I'm emergency backup. You go. Don't worry about us.
I'm not worried. It's just...
Thanks. She passed over the bag, added a strong hug. You let me know when you find out how Cecile's doing.
I will. You're a lifesaver. I have to run, she told Darby. I have an appointment in 15 minutes, she added with a glance at her watch. She may spit up on your shirt.
I do that myself.
With a half laugh, Britt leaned in to kiss Audra's cheek, then jumped in her car.
If anything, go, Emily ordered.
She watched Britt pull out, waved her off.
She'll check on Cecile if she has time before the session. They've been friends since middle school.
Oh, does Britt work at the medical center?
Yes, she's a therapist, child and family therapy.
You were coming to see me?
I was, but you're busy.
Not that busy, and this one's an angel.
I don't care how many grandmothers say the same. For my Audra, it's pure truth. Come on in.
Grandmother, Darby noted, not aunt or auntie. Interesting. She followed Emily in, where reception now held a baby pack-and-play area and a baby swing.
You're prepared.
When Britt called, I ran to the house for a few essentials, including several stuffed animals, stacking toys, banging toys.
Softy.
Oh, you bet.
She settled the baby in the swing, gave her a little stuffed lamb, set the swing to a gentle rock.
I can't believe my baby's 10 months old and starting to toddle. Now, what can I do for you?
It's actually what I hope you'll let me do for you.
Emily's eyebrows lifted.
Then why don't we sit down?
I should give you the quick background first. My mother and I ran a landscaping business in Maryland. After she died, I realized I just couldn't do it without her. It wasn't the work, it was the heart. I didn't have the heart to keep the business there, or the house, or anything, really.
What you did there, you did together.
Yes, and without her, I just couldn't find my balance, just couldn't see staying. I decided to sell the business, relocate, and come here.
I didn't realize you'd planned to stay in the area.
Well, I couldn't be sure until I got here. I did my research on the area, on the growing season, the native plants, the businesses. Well, I did my research, but I needed to be here to see, to, you know, feel it. I intended to take 2 weeks to be sure, but, well, when you know, you know.
You're hoping to start a business here?
I've already applied for the license, got the process started.
My goodness! Emily let out a rolling laugh. Girl, you're greased lightning.
When you know, you know, Darby repeated. I still need to look for the right location where I would set up, but in the meantime, I've talked to local suppliers. Joy and Frank Bester at Best Blooms are just great, aren't they?
They are.
I've talked to lumber suppliers, stone suppliers, and so on.
Lumber and stone?
Fences, walls, patios, pavers. It's all part of landscaping. It's not just plants, though they're the heart.
All right.
While Emily didn't know much about it, she knew a lot about people. As she'd thought the first time, the girl was alive with energy.
If you want me to spread the word...
Oh, not yet. I mean, I can give you a client list from Maryland, lists of references and all that, but it's not the same as seeing. So I'd like to offer you a proposal.
Okay.
I've got the bungalow here for another 3 weeks. I'd like to, at my expense, landscape its grounds. Time, material, labor, at my expense.
Caution flickered over polite interest.
What sort of landscaping?
I've got a drawing. Darby opened her pack, handed a computer-generated drawing to Emily, then got up to crouch beside Emily's chair to explain it. As Darby bent her head, Emily saw the tattoo in deep, dark green on the back of her neck. An infinity symbol.
You see the hardscape, the walkway, the back patio in slate, Darby began.
Rustic, but finished, and you won't have the expense of replacing the gravel every few years. A good, attractive, still rustic pole light that adds welcome and security. For the plantings, you want low maintenance.
The lowest. I have two black thumbs.
Bet you don't. People just think they do. But we stick with native plants and accents that are proven in this climate and zone. Mountain laurel, azaleas, soften the foundation.
Greased lightning, Emily thought again as she studied the drawing.
You've got shady areas where I'd do some elderberry, some high bush blueberry,
You get the flowers, then the birds get the fruit. And you could have some Rose Bay Rhodos. They'll grow on the edge of the woods here, and so will some more wildflowers I'd coax in. Some bulbs like daffs and lilies for naturalization. Your guest would have all that bloom and color in different seasons. And I'd do, again, easy to maintain, pots of mixed annuals for the porch, the patio. But what about watering all this? Drip hoses, self-watering pots, low maintenance. Honey, this is ambitious, to say the least. And even if I said yes, you can't take on all this expense. Darby tracked her gaze up to Emily's. We had a house. I sold it. And sold the business. Then there was my mom's life insurance. I've run a business already, and I have a business plan now. This is an investment in that. If you like it, you might hire me to do another bungalow. You'll tell your neighbors I do good work. They'll see it for themselves. She sat back on her heels. You run a business, so you know what goes into it. Yours came through your family, too, so you know the pride and responsibility of that. Worst case, you don't like my vision once it's realized. Best, you do. And there's a lot between worst and best. So young, Emily thought, but good God, confident. You're taking all the risk. I'll be doing what I love and what I'm good at. I have a degree in landscaping and one in business management, and I've worked in the field for 14 years. I'm confident in my skill, enough to offer this knowing you're going to be happy with the result. If you let me try. God, girl, you really know how to make a pitch. Now Darby flashed a smile that danced into those deep blue eyes. It's part of my charm. If I agreed, when would you start? Inside her head, Darby pumped fists in the air. If you say go, I can have the slate and builder's sand I have on hold here this afternoon. On hold? Darby's smile only pumped up brighter. Optimism's also part of my charm. I don't know why I'm more nervous about this than you are, but I am. There was something, Emily thought. Something about the girl. Okay, Darby, we'll try it out. I want to yell yay, but the baby fell asleep. I'll wait until I'm outside. But she gripped Emily's hand. You won't regret it. Lord, honey, I hope you don't. Not a chance. I am really damn good at this. Aren't you going to need help? Stone has to be heavy. Stronger than I look, but I've got a helper in mind. Joy and Frank said Roy Dawson's a good worker. He is, Emily agreed. Affable, too. He mostly does odd jobs. He's prone to wander from one to the next when the whim strikes him. So they said. Anyway, I talked to him yesterday. He said he'd give me a hand, so I'll give him a call. Darby pushed to her feet. Thank you, Emily. I'm going to send you my client list. You can contact anyone on it. I shut down our webpage when I sold, but you can still get to some of it. I'll send you the URL. She blew out a breath. Now I'm going to get started. She bolted for the door. Stopped. I'm going to make you a low-maintenance showpiece. Emily sat, a little shell-shocked, and heard the echoing, Yay! As Darby raced back to the cabin. Chapter 9. Roy Dawson proved a good and affable worker. He sang or whistled as he worked, didn't haggle about salary, and had no problem taking cash as payment as casual labor, until Darby's business license came through. A beefy guy with a scraggly beard, he wore more scraggly hair under a faded New Orleans Saints gimme cap. With his help, Darby removed the old gravel, widened the existing path, leveled it, poured the builder's sand. Though she wanted the path to look organic, she rented a wet saw to trim some of the slate to suit her. The first time she used it, Roy had shaken his head.
I've seen girls use saws before, but never seen one use one of those. You're a caution, Miss Darby.
He wouldn't drop the miss, so Darby ran with it. And since the man was as strong as a pair of oxen and didn't quibble about sweaty work, they had the path nearly done in 2 days.
Here come the police, Roy said as she laid the level on the next piece of stone.
Darby looked around when the cruiser pulled into the driveway. The man who got out had a strong build, a lot of gray shot through his hair. He didn't wear a uniform, but jeans and a t-shirt. Rising, Darby brushed off the knees of her own jeans, hoped she didn't smell too bad after a day of hauling and placing stone.
Hey there, Roy. Ms. McRae, I'm Chief Keller, Emily's husband.
Nice to meet you. She pulled off a work glove to shake. I'm grateful for the opportunity here.
I haven't had a chance to get down, take a look before this. You're damn near done with the walk. It looks good. Miss Darby says it won't have grass growing up in the cracks. She's gonna plant stuff there instead.
Irish moss. You'll have Irish moss planted by somebody named Darby McRae. It's lucky. We'll finish the stone today.
I have to say, it makes a difference.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. She grinned at him.
Well, what I see looks pretty good. I came down to take a look and to let you know the town planner said your business license came in.
It did? Oh my God. Oh my God, Roy, we're in business! She threw her arms around him, made him blush bright red, then swung away to dance.
She's a caution,
Roy told Lee.
I can see that.
It took most of a week to lay the patio, mortar the joints. Then she dug in, literally. In Roy's truck, she'd trade her car in for one of her own when her first job was finished, they loaded her selected plants in the bed. For this job, she dealt exclusively with Joy and Frank. Nothing too fancy. She selected the pots, the annuals, and because it struck her as just right, a good-sized wind chime she'd hang on a branch at the edge of the woods. She ended each day filthy, sweaty, and blissfully happy. After each completed project, she took pictures. She needed to build her website again. She dug, planted, placed, pruned, edged, spread the yards of mulch Roy hauled in his truck. He stood back as she placed a pot on the front porch.
It looks a picture, Miss Darby. I swear I can't hardly believe I had a part in it.
You sweat. And you bled a few times. You had as much a part as I did. That's why you're going to be my first official employee.
Oh, now, Miss Darby.
I'm not going to take no. She knelt to fill another pot with the flowers she'd picked. You already know I'm a good boss. I know you're a good worker. You've got a good eye for this work, too, which is why I'm giving you a dollar raise over what I've been paying you, starting tomorrow.
You said we're done here today. We got no work tomorrow.
We will have. Please, God. If we don't, you're going to go with me to look at that house I'm thinking about. If I buy it for the business, I'm going to need to build a greenhouse and an equipment shed.
You move so damn fast, my head's in a spin most of the time.
You can fill out the paperwork tomorrow. She looked up at him. She knew he more or less worked when he pleased as a man of all work, had a girlfriend of 4 years, a mother he visited nearly daily. I couldn't have done this without you. Not just the muscle, Roy. I needed the company, your eye, and your connections. So you be here at 7 sharp, ready to work. You're High Country Landscaping's most valued employee.
You ain't got but me.
I will have, but you're the first and the best. See you tomorrow.
Don't you work too late, Miss Darby.
Just going to finish the pots, give them a good drink.
It sure looks a picture,
he repeated, and got into his truck. She planted in the quiet, just her and the breeze off the lake, the scents of the heliotrope, the dianthus, the sweet alyssum in her pots wafting up. Once she'd finished, watered, wandered, cleaned up, because dear God, she was a mess, maybe she'd call Emily, ask if she would come down and see how it all looked. When she placed the pot, she sat, rested her chin on her fist, and looked out at the lake. Lots of boats now on this late afternoon as March moved in. So much green in the woods, on the hills, and wildflowers celebrating. Yeah, she'd water, clean up, call Emily. Even as she pushed to her feet, she heard the voices. Emily's laugh, pure and happy. A man's with it, warm and easy. She looked down at herself, thought, crap then, oh well. Then walked down to meet them. The man, not the chief, had his arm slung around Emily's shoulders. They looked at each other as they walked, and the love, affection, mutual delight just shined. Taller than Lee, easily 6'3", and somewhere in his 30s by her gauge, a lot of dark hair tousled every which way by the breeze. Jeans covered long legs she imagined could eat up the ground, but he paced himself to Emily's stride. Probably the lawyer nephew come home from Raleigh. No one had mentioned said nephew was gorgeous. He glanced over then, spotted her, gave Emily a little nudge.
Darby! Zane, this is Darby McCrae. My nephew, Zane. He's barely gotten home and I'm dragging him out. We were outside when Roy drove by. He called out you were done.
Nice to meet you. She looked down at her hand, decided it was clean enough, and offered it to shake.
You too. She didn't drag me, but apparently Emily's been waiting until you finished to take a look.
I know. First client I've ever had who never looked, peeked, changed the plan, or wondered when I'd finish. And now you're 10 minutes early.
Early?
Emily repeated. I still have some tools out and I haven't swept up. But since you're here, just remember, if there's anything you don't like, I can change it. If you hate it all, well, I'll rip it all out, then kill myself. But that's on me.
Pills, the rope, or the bullet?
Darby couldn't see Zane's eyes through the dark lenses of his sunglasses, but decided they smiled. The lake's right there. Might as well drown.
Let's take a look, Em. See how long Darby here has to live.
God, you two, now I'm nervous.
But she rounded the curve in the road. Darby didn't hold her breath, exactly. She only mentally crossed her fingers for luck as Emily stopped, stared.
You see the...
and broke off whatever she'd wanted to say when Emily waved a hand at her. Then Emily pressed both hands to her mouth as tears swam in her eyes. Oh God, please be happy, tears.
You did this?
Zane murmured. Roy and I did this. Emily, this time the words cut off when Emily threw her arms around Darby.
Oh, I'm filthy and sweaty and smelly. Shut up.
Emily just hugged tighter.
You have no idea. No idea.
So Darby hugged back, looked up at Zane over Emily's shoulder. No idea's good, right?
Definitely.
Zane saw the bungalow, so familiar, transformed. The same structure, sturdy and simple, in a setting that turned the sturdy and simple into the charming, the welcoming. The stone path meandered, the word that came to mind, as if to say nobody had to rush. Flowering shrubs swept along the porch, others kind of danced in and out of the woods. He spotted a pawpaw, one of the few he could name, and heard music. He scanned, found the long copper tubes of a wind chime swaying in the breeze. Flowers spilled out of pots on the porch. They just looked happy.
You painted the porch chairs.
It wasn't in the plans, but once things started going in, they looked a little dull. The lake can get that deep blue color, so I thought we'd bring it into the scheme. Emily drew back, kept her hands on Darby's shoulders.
I got so used to seeing what was always. We'd update the interior, you have to, but I never thought about this. My boys, you met my boys.
Yeah, they're great. Gabe helped us out a few times.
They'd start to tell me what was going on, and I'd shush them because I wanted to come to it finished. I knew it would look better. I never expected it to look amazing.
She turned to Zane.
You've got your phone on you. Can you take some pictures we can send to Grams and Pop? My parents are going to flip. Just flip.
You haven't seen the back patio.
I forgot about it.
Emily let out that rolling laugh, grabbed Darby's hand.
What's growing in the walkway cracks?
Iris moss, Darby said as they walked. It's already taken a good hold. You can walk on it, it's easy to maintain, and it'll fill the cracks, add to the natural look of the walkway.
Everything smells so good.
I added some fragrance.
Oh my God, Zane, look at this.
Emily broke away to step onto the slate patio.
You laid the stone?
Darby nodded at Zane. Roy and I.
Roy's no stonemason.
He's a good worker and a fast learner.
You built a window box. I love it. For herbs.
Still beaming, Emily brushed her fingers through basil, oregano, sage, parsley, thyme.
I know herbs even if I can't grow them.
You can. I'll teach you. I thought some of the guests will want to stay in, cook. It's a nice kitchen. So you can tell them to use the herbs if they want. And that rosemary against the corner of the house, it's sheltered there and will grow to a nice-sized shrub. It'll smell great and you can use it.
You painted the chairs here, too,
Zane commented. So it flows. I used bigger vertical planters here because it's more open. They're all, like the porch pots, the window box, self-watering. They have a reservoir for water, a wicking basket to prevent root rot. Housekeeping only needs to check them every couple of weeks, fill the reservoir as necessary. And we can switch out the plantings seasonally.
The little picnic table and benches?
All Roy. It gave Darby pride to say so. He sanded, stained, sealed. It doesn't look showroom new, we didn't want that, but it looks fresh.
Get some pictures, will you, Zane? I'm just going to...
As she wandered off, Darby took a step after her. Zane laid a hand on Darby's arm.
She needs a little alone.
Okay.
She loves this place, all of it. We all do, but for Emily, it's always been home, and legacy and pride and responsibility. You added to that. It looks great. More, it looks right, and this is a compliment. As if it's always looked like this.
Darby felt a little misty herself. That's a perfect compliment. He pulled out his phone, then took off his sunglasses to frame in a shot. Her heart knocked once. Silly, but there it was. You have her eyes.
Sorry?
Emily. You have Emily's eyes.
Walker Green.
Brody has his mom's eyes in his dad's face. Gabe, his dad's eyes in his mom's face. Zane took a couple of shots, lowered the phone.
I never thought about it exactly that way, but you're right.
The whole family's happy you're moving back.
It seemed like time. And you're moving here. Bigger change for you.
It seemed like time. She liked his smile. It started slow, ended a little crooked. Like his nose, she thought. He'd broken it along the way. She knew how that felt. Emily came back, heaved a big sigh.
Okay, Zane, I have to ask you for a big favor.
Sure.
I need you to go back to the house, get a bottle of wine.
I have wine. Emily angled her head at Darby.
Enough for the three of us to sit and have a conversation?
Conversational wine, Darby nodded. I can handle that.
Great. Zane, give her a hand. I'm going to sit here and bask while you do.
I love that she's basking, Darby said as they went inside. I like clients to kind of check things as we go, but she just wouldn't. She got the wine and didn't have to tell him where to find the glasses, the corkscrew. You've put in some time in the bungalows.
You don't live with Emily and not work the bungalows. Family business,
he added as he pulled the cork. Family business, she understood. But the live with Emily came as new information. What about his parents? And now that she thought of it, she'd heard not a word about any sibling of Emily's along her chatty journeys. They took the wine and glasses outside where Emily sat with a dreamy smile at the picnic table.
I'm coming back tomorrow, unless I'll be in your way, and taking some pictures for the website.
You won't be in my way. After pouring the wine, Darby sat. Plus, I'll have the potting soil swept up by then.
Emily took a sip of wine, studied the glass. I know a little about wine, and this is nice. I know nothing about flowers that don't come in a vase. I know a little about trees and can recognize an azalea.
She took another sip.
I know business, customer service, raising kids. Adding business to what my eyes tell me, I know once I put photos on the website, add them to the brochures, I'm likely, very, to see an increase in interest in rentals for this bungalow. Considering that and everything else, I'm not going to let you bear the expense for all this.
Darby's shoulders went from relaxed to stiff. Zane saw the change from across the table.
We had a deal.
I'm changing the deal, Emily said easily, and I have my lawyer right here. If you're as good a businesswoman as you are a landscaper, and I suspect you are, you have all your receipts and a good accounting of the materials, the time, and labor that went into this project.
We had a deal, Darby said again.
Apparently,
Zane tossed back,
we're renegotiating.
We are. And here are the terms. I'll reimburse you for the materials. I expect you, being a licensed contractor, got them at a discount.
I'll take the discount.
Those shoulders relaxed just a little.
Now, you'll also have an accounting of the cost of labor.
No. Darby picked up her wine.
Yes, you do. I'm willing to negotiate the bottom line on that.
Roy's the first employee of High Country Landscaping. I pay him. Zane held up a hand.
You hired Roy? Officially?
He's going to fill out the W-4 tomorrow.
She performs miracles,
Zane commented.
We'll negotiate the cost of labor, Emily continued, and if we come to terms, I'm going to contract you to do the rest of the bungalows.
Darby's mouth fell open, shut as she pressed her lips together, closed her eyes.
Oh, that's playing dirty. I play to win.
You won't beat her,
Zane commented.
Trust me.
I want that so much, she pointed at Emily. You know how much.
I do.
And I've got better, dirtier. I've seen the way you look at my house. You finish the bungalows, it's yours. I want you to do to my house what you've done here.
God damn it!
Shoving up from the table, Darby circled the patio. She dragged off her cap, raked hands through her hair.
It's so beautiful, so perfect, so ridiculously naked. I've got a dozen different designs in my head already. This is so not fair.
She dropped down again, huffed out a breath.
Half. Half the labor. 50-50.
I can agree to that.
And the paint for the chairs, and that labor, the pots, the plants, and labor, the window box, the wind chime, those are gifts. They're gifts, and that's that.
Done.
Darby stared at the hand Emily held out.
Really?
Really?
When they shook, Emily held on another minute.
You get me the accounting tomorrow. How soon can you start on the next bungalow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Don't you want a day off?
No. No, I really don't. I've been working on designs in the evening.
Optimism.
Tomorrow. When Darby's eyes filled, Zane sighed, looked skyward.
Not you, too.
This means everything to me.
Now she gripped Emily's hand in both of hers.
I made a difference for you here, and I will with all the others. But this is my life, and you've just made a difference in my life.
Honey, you're going to need more than Roy once people around here see what you can do.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping to steal Gabe from you this summer.
Gabe?
A smile flickered around Emily's lips, even as surprise filled her eyes.
Really?
He's got an eye, good hands, an interest, and a work ethic I imagine he got from you. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, I maybe need a lawyer, too.
Darby shifted to Zane.
Do you handle real estate?
He'd spotted the tattoo, found it nearly as fascinating as her eyes.
Not so far, but things change. Why?
I've got my eye on a place up for sale. If it works out, don't I need somebody to handle the property search thing and the settlement, all that?
Wouldn't hurt.
You're hired. I was going to take one more look, but I'm going to go ahead and make an offer tonight. I feel like all this is a sign. The Hubbard place, right? I heard you've been looking at it. You remember that place, Zane? This side of the lake, closer to town, and back down that steep lane?
Yeah, vaguely.
The house isn't much, but I don't need much there. What it has is 5.8 acres, and I need that. Greenhouse, equipment shed, and so on. It'll work. Anyway, the bungalows. They won't look like this.
Emily jerked back.
But I love this. I want this. For this one. You don't want your bungalows, those homes away from home, to all look the same, to be uniform like a development. Each one should be unique to its topography, its view, its setting. You'll have, we'll say, a look, a flow, but not cookie cutter. I've got some designs worked up on my laptop. Why don't I get it? You can look. You could pick where you want me to start next.
She always 0 to 60?
Zane wondered.
In my limited acquaintance, yeah. Sorry, if you don't have time now, I can bring them to you tomorrow morning.
I've got wine, got my boy. I've got time.
Great. Be right back.
Zane frowned after her.
Does she ever wind down after hitting full speed?
Not that I've seen.
Emily tipped her head to his shoulder.
I'm so glad you're home, Zane.
He brushed his lips over her hair.
Me too.
Zane had the guest room in the rambling old house, his usual spot on visits. He knew Emily and Lee would be perfectly content to have him live there open-ended, but he'd find a place. If he was back, he was back, and needed to reset his roots, so to speak. Gardening terms, he thought, as he tried to settle in for the night. Probably came from the landscaper. He needed to start looking at houses. No condos like he'd had in Raleigh. Time for an actual house. Hell, he could hire the landscaper to do whatever with a yard if he ended up with one. A view of the lake, an absolute must. Reasonable proximity to his family, to town where he'd need to set up an office. It appeared the landscaper, again, would be his first non-family client in Lakeview. She sure as hell made Emily happy, and that earned her major points in his book. Happy enough, after the family celebration meal, man, Emily could cook, that she'd dragged the whole family down to the bungalow. And there in the moonlight, they'd been treated to the lighting Darby had added. The quirky lamppost with its copper cap, the walkway lights, little lights under the eaves, front and back, that added charm and practicality. She'd come out, of course. Cleaned up, and she cleaned up well. Of course, she'd looked just as interesting in a sweaty t-shirt and dirty jeans. Interesting, he thought as he stared up at the ceiling, rather than a beauty like his sister, his aunt. The short, not quite red, not really brown hair exposed the little tattoo on the back of her neck. An infinity symbol. Had to be a story there. She had a wiry kind of build, and he figured it suited her, as she seemed wired altogether to him. Eyes so blue they read kind of purple in a face of sharp angles. And a nose slightly, just slightly, off angle. Broken at some point, he thought. He knew how that felt. Lost her mother in the last year, Emily had told him. Had sold off, packed up, and moved. That took either guts or a streak of recklessness. So did the initial deal she'd made with Emily. Maybe she had both. He had a feeling Lee knew more, but hadn't asked. He expected Lee would have run her background just as a precaution, and since he'd watched Lee with her, had to assume Lee hadn't found anything to worry him. The boys liked her. Britt liked her. Silas, too. The baby and the dogs apparently considered her their new best friend. So Zane decided he wouldn't worry either. Plus, anyone who could talk Roy Dawson into a structured job had some sort of magic going. So he'd put all that to bed, even if he couldn't seem to do the same with his brain. He rose, went to the window. He could see the lights across the lake. Could pick out the security lights glowing on the house where he'd once lived in fear and misery. Someone else lived there now. Not the someone else who'd initially bought it once Graham and Eliza had sold it, but another someone else. He hoped any residue from his life had long been banished. Eliza had, to his knowledge, never come back to Lakeview. He knew where she was. Once she'd served her term, she'd moved to Raleigh, and there visited her husband in prison every week. Clockwork. Never missed. Zane had never run into her, something he was grateful for. Raleigh proved big enough for all of them. Or it had. In the last few months, he felt it closing in on him. Had begun to feel, however good his life, however satisfying his work, he'd never be fully shed of them if he could turn a corner one day and run into Eliza. And more, Graham would very likely make parole the next time out, and that was coming right up. That had crawled under his skin and stayed there. For a long time, he'd believed he couldn't live in Lakeview again, live with the memories of that fear and misery. Then he'd come to believe he needed Lakeview and the good memories, the people who made his real family. He'd missed Audra's birth by an hour because he lived in Raleigh and couldn't get back in time. He'd played basketball with Brody, but had never been to one of his games. Only made it to a couple of Gabe's baseball games due to the luck of timing on visits. The kid had an arm on him. Standing, looking at the lights, Zane picked up the baseball he carried, a replacement for the one he'd long ago worn down. They wouldn't come back here, he thought. There was nothing for them here. There could be everything for him here. All he had to do was take it. And make a life. He went back to bed, the ball in his hand. Rubbing the stitching, he listened to the sigh of the breeze from the lake, the whisper of it through leaves gone green with spring, and slept. Chapter 10. He didn't expect to run into Darby again so quickly. Lakeview wasn't Raleigh, but it held more than 5,000 people, not counting visitors. Still, within a couple of days, he spotted her car on the lake road, slowed to give a wave. She rolled to a stop, gesturing, so he stopped. Since he had the top down, he waited for her to lean out her window.
Figured you'd be digging or something.
I have been. I left Roy and Gabe clearing and leveling the walkway. Stone and sand coming this afternoon. I can't get some of what I want from Best Blooms, so I have to head out to one of the bigger garden centers. I want a good-sized weeping dogwood, for one thing. He tipped down his sunglasses.
You're going to fit a tree in that car?
No, I'm buying a truck on the way there. And just kept studying her over the tops.
You're buying a truck on your way to pick up a tree?
I ordered it over the phone this morning.
You ordered? I have to stop repeating what you say just because what you say is weird.
It's not weird. They had what I want. They're starting the paperwork. I go in, boom, boom, drive off and get the tree and so on. Anyway, are you still my lawyer?
I could be.
I need a quick minute. Let's pull over. Since she did, he, baffled, followed suit. Got out as she did. She wore brown cargo pants, strong boots, an unzipped red hoodie over a pale yellow tee. Okay, the Hubbards accepted my offer. I signed the contract this morning.
0 to 60, he thought again. You've had a busy morning.
Best kind. So can you contact the realtor? Lakeview Realty, Charmaine's handling it. And do what lawyers do? That's a really excellent car, by the way. I don't really know cars, but I can see that's a blow-up-your-skirt kind of car.
Whose skirt?
Since I'm not wearing one, whoever. She shifted to study his sleek silver Porsche. Yep, that's an excellent single guy's car.
I'm a single guy.
Yeah, I need a truck. But if I could also have an excellent car, that one would be top of the list. Anyway, can you handle this deal?
I can, conditionally.
Now she tipped down her sunglasses, peered over them with suspicious eyes. Do you take after Emily? He'd liked her, Zane thought, because she'd made Emily so damn happy. Now, he realized, he just liked her.
Maybe she takes after me. Here's the deal. I do it pro bono.
I don't need
I do. I've spent the last 8 years as an ADA. I haven't done much general law. You'd be practice, and I need it. A simple settlement's an easy way to slide in. I just finished getting office space in town, haven't even hung out my shingle, so to speak. I need the practice, kind of like you had to get your foot in the door with Walker Lakeside Bungalows. So it's pro bono.
Maybe.
And you can pay me back with a free consult.
Now those suspicious eyes, and they were kind of fabulous, showed some interest. On what?
I'm figuring on buying a house. I'm also having a busy morning, heading out to look at one. I looked at one already, and that's probably it, but I'm looking at a couple more first.
She held up a finger. It's going to be the one way up on the ridge on this side of the lake. The one that's like it's built into the hill. All the glass, that sloped, uneven ground with the big drop-off in front, the view people would commit murder for. Well, he thought, son of a bitch.
Why?
Because not unlike your car, it's amazing. I looked at it myself, just to look, because it wasn't what the business needs. It may have pulled at my guts, but I need the spread of land, the location nearer town. Plus, there's the stickiness of the price. They're only selling because he accepted a transfer to London. Their kids are grown, she's an artist who can work anywhere, and she has cousins in Brighton.
How do you know all that?
They told me. People do that. Tell me. Am I right?
Maybe. Probably. I'm thinking about it.
After tapping her sunglasses back up, she beamed at him, megawatt style. You should buy it so I can landscape the crap out of it. It's got nice work now, but I could make it as magical as the view. Anyway, consults are free all the time for everyone.
Do you make everyone dizzy?
I don't think so. I've got to go. Charmaine, the same one who's handling the house you should buy. We'll figure out the rest later.
Darby?
She paused, one hand on the car door.
How'd you break your nose?
Ex-husband. You? He usually lied if someone noticed and asked. A knee-jerk thing. Said line drive or some other fantasy. But the word came out of his mouth.
Father.
She let out a sigh of air. You win that one. She hopped in, drove off. Apparently people did tell her, he thought. And more, she was right. He should buy the house. Screw looking at a couple more when that one had, right again, pulled at his guts. It looked like he'd be handling two settlements. He pulled out his phone, stood right there on the side of the road, and made Charmaine's day. He went back into town, signed the contract, picked up some pizza, and took Britt to lunch in the empty office space of the building he'd bought right on Main Street. They sat on the floor, drank Cokes, ate pizza.
We can do this a lot more at an actual table once you're really in here. It's a good spot, Zane. Smack on Main Street, front entrance, the little porch. More than enough room for your office, a receptionist, a law library, and maybe a conference room upstairs. You even have the little kitchen.
It'll work. We'll see if I will.
Our great-grandfather was a town lawyer, she reminded him. Another Walker family tradition.
Sitting in her bare feet, her quietly professional gray dress, she glanced around.
And you bought a building. And a house. That's the one I can't get my head around yet.
Me either. I don't do that.
Buy houses?
Go on impulse. The building, that's different. But I just bought an entire house, a freaking big-ass house, on impulse.
It's a great house, or it looks great from down here. I've never been up there.
It's amazing, but still, it's a lot of house for just me.
It's not just you.
Before she pointed, she licked sauce off her finger.
You come with a big family, and we expect you to entertain us lavishly and often.
Huh. I don't think I'd have done it if I hadn't run into the landscaper.
Darby? I like her. She's...
Searching, Britt circled her Coke in the air.
Infectiously appealing.
That's one way to put it. Accurately,
he decided.
But what's she have to do with it?
Nothing, really, but she starts talking and you start seeing what she's saying. Or you don't, but you're nodding along in your head. She bought the Hubbard place this morning, asked me to handle the deal for her, and before I know it, I'm telling her about this place and the house, and she's convincing me I should buy the house. She's buying a truck on the way to buy a tree.
Okay.
He snagged more pizza, wagged it for emphasis.
No, I mean, she ordered the truck over the phone, like I did this pizza. And she's buying it just like that, picking up a tree and coming back. She's got Roy and Gabe working.
Oh, yeah, no school today. Well, if she convinced you, good for her. Because you're going to live on the tall hill, work in town, be right here. I missed you like crazy.
I missed you too. And all of this, more than I let myself admit.
Reaching over, he laid a hand on hers.
He'll most likely make parole this time.
I know. 18 years, Zane. It's a long time. Maybe not long enough for you and me, but a long time. She's never come back, not once. Lee would know if she had, and he'd have told us. There's no reason he'd come back.
She still visits him. Every week.
She loves him.
At Zane's instinctive sound of disgust, Britt pushed on.
She does love him. Remember the way, even after she'd rolled over to get a reduced sentence for herself, she testified for him at his trial? Swearing under oath what they had between them wasn't violence but passion. It's not healthy, it's not genuine, but it's real to her. Maybe to them.
It's obsession.
Yes.
As she spoke, Britt turned her wedding band around her finger with her thumb. A gesture, Zane thought, he'd seen her make before when they spoke of their parents.
Yes, it is. And they have a terrible, destructive dependence on each other. We were just byproducts, just status to them.
It was always about them,
Zane added,
about how they look to outsiders and their own sick connection.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt they gave either of us a thought. You're probably right.
Did you come back now because you believe he's going to get out?
That's part of it.
Protecting me again?
Always will.
That goes both ways.
When Britt went back to work, Zane wandered around the empty office space. He could probably use some of his condo furniture, currently in storage. His desk would work in the reception area. Once he hired a receptionist or paralegal. Once he had actual clients. Christ, what was he doing? He'd worked as a prosecutor his entire career. Sure, he'd handled a few outside legal matters for friends, and he'd taken care of whatever Emily or Britt needed, but his focus had been making sure bad guys paid the price for bad acts. And he'd been good at it. Now? Wills, divorces, DUIs, civil suits. Well, there was a need, but who knew if he'd be good at it? He walked to the window, looked out at the shops, the restaurants, the people taking advantage of a pretty spring day. Some he knew, some he didn't. He didn't know the guy on a stepladder over at the breezy cafe hanging baskets of flowers. Did he need to do that? He had the nice little porch, so maybe he needed, what, a bench, a flower pot or something? A good way for Darby to trade off the settlement work. Then he wouldn't have to think about it. Maybe he'd put his leather sofa in reception, or in what he'd use as the law library or conference room. He supposed most of his condo furnishings hit the same note as his car. Single guy. Maybe he'd buy himself a seriously lawyerly desk for his office, get some lawyerly art for the walls. Walls he had to have painted something besides investment property off-white. He'd worked in a tight, overworked space for so long, he wasn't quite sure what he'd do with so much room. Or time. He'd just have to find a way to fill them both. He watched a woman, really pregnant, with swingy blonde hair, push a kid in a stroller down the sidewalk. He started to turn away, get back to the business of figuring things out, when it struck him. He rushed to the door, stepped out on the porch, and thought, "Holy shit!
Ashley Kinsdale!"
The woman glanced toward him, did a double take. Her version of holy shit, he supposed.
"Zane!"
He strode down to the sidewalk and into her laughing hug. She smelled like baby powder, he realized, and weirdly, the one inside her gave him a little kick.
"Jeez, Ashley, look at you.
Baby boy, coming your way this April."
"You look great. Seriously."
"I'm fat, but I feel great.